The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
To the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time on this new year. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you, as always, for listening. Welcome 2019, people. It's happening.
It's happening. And it is literally, when you're listening to this, it's the second day of the new year. But Christy and I are recording this on the last day of 2018. Weird.
A year of highs and lows. 2018.
You know what? A couple nights ago, my bestie Maddie Gunkel to my kids was over, and we were playing cards by the fire, and the kids were hanging out, and we were listening to Prince, and 1999 came on, and we're like, oh, we were like dancing, and we're singing, and my daughter Francesca, who's nine, was like, so mom, what? So why did people think something bad was going to happen when the year turned to 2000? And I'm like, I don't know. Remember that everybody was like there. I was like, whatever. Who fucking cares? But there were a lot of people really scared of that change over to 2000.
Yes. I remember I actually had a friend from high school whose parents moved to have like more land in a different state.
Shut
up. No joke. They like ahead of, what was that called? Y2K, right? Ahead of Y2K. That, they made big plans for like a rural compound so that when, you know, world war explodes or the apocalypse comes or whatever they were expecting, they would be prepared to live like on their own. True story.
That is crazy. I mean, I don't understand. Like, they thought the internet was going to go down and, like, digital clocks wouldn't know what to do or something. I mean,
that it would be like techno blackout, I think.
Yeah. So, why that New Year's, I've told you this story, but Y2K literally was very scary for me. And Jose Luis.
Why?
My husband. Because I've told you this story, and I'm not going to go too much into it because that'll take all episode, but we were in Mexico City, and he was shot that morning. So he actually, with a gun, got shot and consequently almost died.
I do remember.
And he was in the hospital. We were there for like 3 months. He almost died. And he wasn't doing anything bad. There was no gangsters. I mean, it was just literally wrong place, wrong time. It was that morning of 2000. We all were like, we knew the world wasn't ending. You know, we were like, okay, cool. You know, and we're like, let's go eat at this amazing restaurant. We were stuffing our faces because we were partying the night before. It was like 11 o'clock. I don't know, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and he got shot. So that was my Y2K story. I actually did have a big scare.
Sure. Yeah, it was. Life could have been life altering for sure.
Yeah. The 2000s could have been, I mean, it was life altering. When you almost die or when the person you love most in the world is on the brink of death, it changes your life. But anyway, I digress.
Well, Facebook has been for a while now doing those
Memories.
A look back. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes you're just like, you open your phone, you're not expecting it, and there's like a picture of you holding your baby while you're pregnant with the other, you know, whatever. And you're just like, why Facebook? but I did realize that like every memory it shows me, even if it makes me emotional, they're all happy memories. So, you know, I don't take anything for granted, or I try not to take anything for granted. We're both very lucky. We have roofs over our heads and families that love us and, you know, careers that we love. So every time those memories come up, it does kind of remind me like of all the happy times, which is what we kind of tried to do for this episode when we were both writing down notes and stuff individually. Like, what did we love about the podcast in the last year? What did we love about doing it? What did our listeners love? What about our guests? So that's what today's episode is about. We tried to put together a little 2018 retrospective as we look back and forward in the new year.
So what I did was I went through all of our episodes. There were so many. I kept having to go next page on Fireside, our hosting site. It's so many. It still blows me away how many recordings we have, how many shows we've done. But I picked like, went through them all. I'm like, oh, that was one of my favorites. Oh, that was one of my favorites. So I listed those. And then what I found to be a pattern this year was that we had quite a few of our listeners on the show as guests.
Yes. Listeners that we had been in touch with throughout the process.
Yeah. I mean, and we're in touch with a lot of you, but you know, a couple of them were people who were like really reached out to us or really engaged, like Amanda and Eric. They sent us the video of them singing our intro song. Remember? Like,
yeah.
That's kind of the first time. And then, you know, Trisha was on our show twice.
Yeah, I have both those on my list too.
Yep. Number 67, second time around. I'm just going into it now, okay? 67, second time around. Number 74, Allison, our Canadian bride, the Pinto dinner service. And then she sent us her highlights wedding video. Remember, and they were on that, had the blue shoes.
Yeah.
And they were in that mobile. What is that called? That what are those things called that you drive with, like the big wheels?
Oh, like a four-wheeler when they were
on
that big venue.
Yep. She was on the show. Blake and Ashley, number 76.
Yeah, so it was a couple of mine in Texas that was like the happiest, most joyful couple ever on their wedding day.
So happy and positive. So happy and positive. Amanda and Eric, who I mentioned, and then Amanda was out here in San Francisco, and her and I got together for lunch, and then we went shopping. And I have her thank you card sitting right here in front of me with her and Eric kissing, and it's so cute. And then Trisha again with Sutton about the destination wedding retrospective, number 99. And then, of course, number 116 and number 117, Cass and Tony and Lara, who were our polyamorous family, who are still planning their wedding, but they're listeners. So we had a lot of listeners on the show this year.
Yes, and we also did a lot of episode, not a lot, but we did incorporate listener experiences into episodes also, like the brunch episode we did. And we got all those awesome notes from the bride.
Oh, yes.
And
her long list that she like kept making over months and months for us and sent it for everybody to listen to. That was so awesome. That's right.
So we're grateful that we've been able to hear from you guys listening, help you answer your questions over email. But then also when we get to establish those relationships, we've had consulting. We have some of your patrons. And then some of you, the emails have included like follow-ups and follow-up questions and updates. And then we always love to get the emails when you tell us like how it actually went. So we've got about a dozen people right now that we've helped recently whose weddings are coming soon that I'm expecting like some pictures emailed or like, okay, I did it this way or, you know.
Oh, and I've met in person, Christy, doing consulting meetings. in person, live, too. Lauren and Amy and Justin, they both who are getting married, listen together. I met with them and did a consulting meeting. We had a beer together and hung out with their dog. And then Lauren, who introduced me to an awesome coffee shop in Menlo Park and has the most beautiful red hair and is a yoga instructor as well. And she took my yoga class a couple weeks ago. She showed up. I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed because it was a kind of an intense day for me that morning. And my head was in other places, of course, before the class. And I walked in and I was waiting for the studio to open up because there was a class before mine. And this woman walks by me and I look at her and I noticed her red hair. And she looked familiar to me and I was like, oh, she's taken my class before. You know, so I was on my phone and I was kind of like a smile. I was like, hi, kind of gave her a hi look, you know, and she's like, hi. And then taught the class. And then afterwards she came up to me and I'm like, hi, you know, and she's like, hi. And she's like, do you remember who I am? And when she said it and I looked at her and I'm like, oh my God, Lauren. Like, I felt so stupid. Lauren is like, she's a Patreon member. I met with her for 2 hours. We hung out consulting. Like, we talked about yoga and she's right in front of me. It was just so weird. Anyway, I felt horrible. I'm like, Lauren, oh my God, I'm so stupid. I'm sorry. And she started laughing. She's like, it's okay. I just feel so fortunate also to have like met some of you in person and some of you I'm working with. And I just got an inquiry. And this is something you and I were talking about, Christy. I got an inquiry yesterday, I think, from a bride who said she listened to the podcast. And in her inquiry, she said, I feel like I know you already. Like, I listen to you all the time and I know you already. So I would love to have you as a part of our wedding. And I was just like, this is so freaking awesome.
It is. It's like a fast track to like a trust relationship that's already been built up. So she trusts you. She likes you. She's going to take your input.
I wrote back to her. I'm like, it's also really cool. Because before this podcast, and for so many years, you know, you get an inquiry from someone getting married. They have no idea who I am. They read my website, but you don't know a person from that, right? Like, you're like, oh, cool, that person seems cool. But now, even after hearing me cuss, even after hearing me complain, even after hearing my opinions, even after hearing Christy cry all the time, like, you guys know us enough to, and you still want to work with us. Like, you like me. You really like me.
Oh, now who's crying?
Except the real Drew Hill.
Oh, except that. Okay, so that's one of my favorite moments of the year was that.
What?
Review.
That bad review?
It was. Why? One of my, okay, here's, I wrote down my favorite episodes to record. And I wrote down like moments that we've had together. The bad review is one of my favorite moments because of our different reactions to it. And if you listen to that, you ask, we answer, then you heard them. But it made it reiterated how I think our personalities go together. That there's going to be certain things that I'm skeptical about, that you're enthusiastic about, that I might need a little push and you're going to give me the push. There's going to be certain things that I'm really stoked about that you're like meh about. But once you catch on to my energy or you see where I'm going with it, you're going to be like, okay, I'm on board. The whole podcast is like that. Like, you and I have a lot in common, but we're really different and it's an opposites. It works because we're opposites. But what I think we're always going to do is when one of us is always going to like fiercely have the other one's back when it's necessary. So absolutely. When it's like, come at me, like, oh, Christy doesn't want to be rude, but I do. You need to back off or stop emailing us or whatever. And with the review, you were like, We welcome all feedback. We want to hear from you. I was sad, but I get it. And, you know, thank you for listening. And I could take on the role of like bulldog behind you that was like, no, I don't feel the same way. I don't feel like you do. You did need to write that review and you don't need to contact us again. And I don't want to hear your feedback. I can only do that because we're like the yin yang of reaction. Yeah. So it was a fun, you know, little exercise in that, that theory of mine that we're, when it comes down to it, one of us can take the brunt a little bit more than the other in that situation. And then that might totally flip flop the next time when one of us needs to be like talked off the ledge, personal stuff, career stuff, adult stuff. So I'm laughing about that. And I just think that whole review was hilarious and in its entirety. And then I put, this is a experience we had, but we didn't share it with, I want to make a note here because I'm going to run down like my list of my favorite episodes. But for example, one of them is when Michelle interviewed Anomaly and then we talked to them together. And if you're a patron, then you get our newsletter. And one of the things I really love about doing the newsletter is I include a reading list from the month. And that includes any articles that have been written about any of our guests. And Anomaly is like blowing up. And there's articles in Forbes and New York Times and Washington Post about Anomaly as a business. And it makes me love the episode even more. It's like the episode was a little seed that we planted for ourselves and our listeners, but then to experience like what is going on with Anomaly, which we have nothing to do with, of course, but to be like spectators, you know? And one of our patrons and listeners was in one of the photos of the New York Times article. She was at she happened to be at the showroom office looking at samples and meeting with the team when the New York Times photographer was there. So it's like, it's full circle because I've done consulting with her. So Anomaly, which was episode 88, it's like big things are happening. And we got a little piece of that kind of at the beginning when Leslie, the owner and the founder and CEO is very much already established, but it's blown up so much since then. So if you're a patron and you get, if you're not a patron and you want these kind of like updates about episodes that you've been listening to, if there's any articles that I come across or that are sent to me about guests or topics that we've discussed, I try to include them in the newsletter with a little note about it. So I put Anomaly down episode 88 as something that like big things are happening now. And the other one for that category is episode 103 that we did with Steph Grant out of the photographer out of Dallas, who has a nonprofit and is really involved in her community. And the interview was so fun, probably one of the funnest, like all over the map interviews that we've done together.
Except that I wasn't there with you guys, and I wish I would have been there because we would have had so much fun afterward.
Especially. We would have, but you were there. I mean, we were recording. You were there. It wasn't like me by myself. But that she's one of those people that was gracious. She's gracious, and she's a friend of mine. You know, the podcast was a no-brainer when she said yes to do it. But like, really cool things are happening around her. So I feel when we get to around her because of her, she's doing cool things. So when we get to interview someone, and then find out, you know, months later that they were honored by the California Senate LGBT, you know, community or whatever, like cool, really cool stuff makes us feel like we're a part of a little bit of culture with doing the podcast. That makes me really happy. So if you haven't listened to those 88 and 103, and then I also wrote down two of my favorites were the authors, the female authors we had on. I Am Bride, which is a, a parody book about wedding planning written by comedian and improviser Laura Wilcox. That's episode 72.
She's a writer too for TV.
Yes. And she's pregnant right now.
She is?
Yeah. She's like halfway through, I think.
Oh my God.
Yes. And she was hilarious to have on. And yeah, it was fun to kind of poke fun at ourselves and at this like big wedding industrial complex that she said was like the main character in her book. And then about a dozen episodes later, episode 86, we had on the feminist bride. She wrote the book, Katrina Matt. How did we say her last name? Majcut?
Yeah, something like that.
And that was an episode that got a lot of email comments from our listeners. Men, women, gay, straight wrote in to tell us how much they loved the episode with the feminist bride and how they're going to buy the book, or they're taking some of what she said about like flipping traditions and knowing what some of these wedding traditions are actually about, and how traditions in America have to do with traditional male-female roles, and that that's kind of not the way things are going anymore in a lot of relationships. So how do you stay true to yourself and honor your own relationship, but also wear a white dress and have your dad walk you down the aisle and do these things that you have always wanted to do if you've always wanted to do them? So I thought her episode was kind of eye-opening and really aligned well with what you and I talk about a lot, which is like, do what you want. You don't want to do that? Don't do it.
Yep.
My favorite episode topic was one that was sort of under the radar, and that was episode 92, What Straight Couples Can Learn from Gay Weddings.
Yeah, that was a good one.
If you haven't listened to that, I think it's very... I loved it because I could talk about that all day long, but it is inclusive, which of course we love and we try to be, but also speaks to like younger couples and millennials, or couples getting married, someone getting married for a second time, that what we're seeing in gay weddings as trends and how gay couples are crafting their ceremonies around what's important to them. Maybe they've been together for a long time, or they're older, or they don't have a lot of their family there to support them at the wedding, because that's fairly common still. It elevates the importance of what marriage means a little bit. So I loved talking about that in the context of how a straight cisgender couple could take some of those practices and incorporate them into their own wedding to make it fit their relationship better.
I get, it really does go hand in hand with the episode on the feminist bride.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes hand in hand in going forward and saying, some of these traditions don't fit anymore. I love the forward thinking and the change that's happening in this industry, and for all of these people, you know, in the future who will be getting married. I don't know if I told you, I had my my wedding video, which was on a VHS tape, Christy, put onto digital format, and I haven't watched the whole thing yet, but I was watching it the other day and I was just like, oh my God, you know, like how things have changed and how traditional my wedding was. And if I were to do it over again, like there's a lot of things I would do differently. Not much. I mean, I did, you know, I had my dress made and I had, you know, I did have bridesmaids and groomsmen and they hated it. They hated their dresses. I would not have a wedding party.
Right.
Definitely wouldn't. Definitely would not. My brothers were super, I would do readings. I would have people do readings. I would have lots of toasts. I would not have a wedding party again for sure. But, and this is kind of a sweet little, I'm just going to say this. My uncle took the wedding video, by the way, who has since passed away. That's another thing. There's like so many people who are gone now that I saw in that video. But my uncle took the video because my dad told me that your uncle's really into cinematography now. He's really, really good at it. And I'm like, cool. I'd love to have video of my wedding. It is the worst video ever. Bless him. You know, my Uncle Louis, screwy Louie. It's terrible. I mean, it really is bad. But I did see this glimpse of myself. Like, he got me during the ceremony looking at Jose Luis, and I was, my hair was dark, naturally. I looked so much younger. And I looked at myself looking at him. And all of a sudden, I was back in that moment 17 years ago, Christy, seeing it. I remember that moment. And I thought, thank God I have even this shitty video. Yeah. I remember how I felt at that moment. And then I told Jose Luis, like, you are so lucky because I still look at you like that and I still feel that. we are lucky that we still feel that. But for all of you out there who are like, no, no video, please reconsider. We've said this a lot. Even and get a videographer, because my video is horrible. But you just, you won't remember that feeling until you see yourself, you know, like until you go, oh my God, boom, there it is. There's the flashback. Anyway,
yeah, I think that's a really good piece of advice, because you're living it and it's true for you. So you can say it to your clients when they're thinking like, do I need videography? Do I want videography? And to all of our listeners. So that's something to consider. I wish I had had that. I think I have video of like from somebody's camcorder of the ceremony, but that's it. And I don't even know where it is or if I've ever watched it. I think I just threw it in a box or an album or something.
Yeah. Anyway, I got way off subject, but you're talking about your favorites. I don't know how I got on.
I just have a couple more. What you mentioned, Trisha, which she did two episodes with us, 67 and 99. And I think those are great episodes even to listen to back to back, because one is Trisha's journey with just her and us interviewing her. And we've known each other for a long time, but about this being her second wedding after a divorce and it being her partner's, her fiance's first wedding, and how she was sort of coming to terms with that, like with the different things that they wanted out of it. And also some really good lessons and advice there about not really listening to what other people have to say about it, because people, you know, have opinions about like the protocol and etiquette when it's a second wedding. And, you know, she didn't listen to any of that. And she had a dream wedding. And then I was a part of it in New Orleans. And then we had them back together as husband and wife in episode 99, so that they could break down some destination wedding stuff for us. Full like weekend at a venue where they had rented the whole thing, and what they felt like they did right and what they wish they had done differently. And if they could do it all again, what they would do that time. So, and it also tied back into the feminist bride, because there were a lot of things that they chose to not do or do, especially in the ceremony. So I thought it was a good example of that.
And I have to tell you something really interesting on that subject. So Trisha, I was Trisha's wedding planner on her first wedding in 2004, I believe it was. And I joked around with her on that episode, like, you could have hired me for your second wedding, or I could have helped you. But of course, she became a wedding planner, so she didn't need that help. But I just a couple days ago got an inquiry, Christy, from a bride. And she, it's a, on my inquiry form, it says, how did you hear about Allure? And she wrote, you were my month of coordinator in 2006.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God. And I talked to her yesterday and I'm like, okay, so I don't have any digital records from back in 2006. Can you remind me of your first wedding? Being very careful, because her fiance now was on the line as well. So, and she, and I just was like, I was like, this is so cool. I'm like, well, clearly you know what I do. She's like, I can't remember. Can you tell me what you do? And then she was telling me, so after we were talking for a while, she has a 10-year-old daughter now with her first husband. But she was telling me, she's like, Michelle, I was looking through my old wedding photos with my daughter the other day, and there's a photo of you. You're like in the background. She's like, you must have been really hot, because you're wiping sweat off of your forehead and you looked like really like, oh. And I started laughing, and it made me think, I've done hundreds of weddings. I stopped counting at 120, yeah. Like, and that was years ago. I wonder how many people's wedding photos I'm in.
I know my hands are in a lot of them. It's always the like behind, I'm like shoulder, arm, hand, because I'm pinning on boutonnieres when the photographer is there. So
that's true. Definitely the pin on. I'm in all those.
Yes. And in most of the pictures I see, I'm wearing the same dress, because I've had this like all purpose black wrap wedding day dress for me. And it's like 6 years old. I mean, I wear the shit out of that dress, and it's in, so every picture I'm in I did a little, I put four of them together on my Instagram, like, here's to the best LBD in the business.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still true. I wore it for that last wedding I did out in October out in California. So, okay. Well, I said Amanda and Eric, episode 80, you mentioned them. That Amanda is a patron also. So that when the relationship started, we knew she was a loyal listener, because we could look up and be like, oh, okay, so they're listening, and also she's contributing every month. Okay, one episode that I really liked that we got a lot, we got some feedback on as well, is the episode 105 with Lindsay Blau from Brick Venue. And I interviewed her in person when I was home in Texas. So it's a Fort Worth venue. But the reason we did it is because we had been getting a lot of emails about venues, like what to ask for at a venue visit. What do venue contracts look like? We're getting emails from you guys that said, like, my venue doesn't include tables and chairs, but it does include, a kitchen, but the caterer has to come in, or it's an in-house caterer. What's the difference? And, you know, should I look for a venue that has parking? Questions just about like freestanding venues, like not a hotel, but an actual event venue that is on its own and has a venue owner. So Lindsay, the owner of Brick Venue, fit that bill. And I felt like she was the perfect person because she's, you know, she's like our age, and she had bought the building with turning it into an event venue in mind. So everything she did was geared towards the client experience. And for us, it really helped to show, for us, I could ask her questions. We could draw out of her answers that you listeners could take and take to a venue visit that you were going to do. But what it ended up doing was showing you all what is it like to work with a venue owner that values customer service above everything else? Because that's Lindsay. She talked about saying yes. She talked about being more apt to giving a couple what they're asking for when the couple is nice and considerate and polite. She talked about what it's like to answer the same questions a million times a day, but never ever make the people feel like the question is redundant or unnecessary. So I think what it did that maybe I wasn't expecting is some of you wrote and said, I wish I had found a venue like Brick or a venue owner like Lindsay, because I'm working with someone, or we ended up doing our wedding somewhere where we didn't get emails back. It seemed very unorganized. The contract was only one page long and didn't seem to answer a lot of questions. So Lindsay was a good shining example of the kind of venues that are out there that appreciate the people that are renting their venue and sort of treat it like guests in their home.
Is that it? Is that it for your favorites?
Oh, well, PJ and Noah, but that was so recent. The dancing grooms. And that, I think, is mostly because of the way that interview happened. Really made me believe in, like, the universe working in our favor.
Absolutely.
On that one.
Absolutely.
They were great to have on and very, very gracious. And we talked as if we had known each other for 20 years. So that was a wonderful experience for me.
They just have such a great message and lovely outlook, and like just all of the attention they've gotten. You know, the clip on the very front of the episode that I put, that was kind of long, you guys, I know, before the intro music started. But what he said in that resonated so much with me, in that all of these people that are seeing this video around the world and watching it and showing it to their kids and getting excited about it is part of what is changing the world and making people more, you know, we are all as a society, hope not all, but you know, we're working hard to come together and just like love each other for who we are, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, despite the crazy things going on in the government and the hateful things that are happening, there are really good things in the world. And that video, the viral, going viral, just It's so representative.
It was really cool to, because we watched the video. This is the dancing, first dance, dancing grooms, and they did a video mashup we're talking about. But we watched the video. We felt this like wave of love and joy watching it. But what was really profound, which you're talking about, I think, is when PJ mentioned that he was apprehensive about putting it out into the world as like letting his friends post about it, because he was expecting like hate, just vitriol hate thrown at him, comments. He was like, I didn't even know if we'd feel safe. Like, is someone's gonna, you know, put our address out there? And like, what we got was the opposite of that. That for every negative comment, there were literally thousands of positive comments, congratulations, thank you for making my day, this looks so fun and beautiful, and you guys are just wonderful. And so it was one of those instances where what you expect is not just proven to be incorrect or not happening, but tenfold. And that was really heartening, is the word I'm trying to think of, for those two grooms specifically, to get that kind of positive attention. So it was cool to be a part of that, because we were a part of the positive attention. We loved it. And I was glad, you know, without the podcast, it would have been very weird for me to just try to reach out to them and be like, can we talk? So it's moments. I'd be like, I don't have any reason to talk to you. I just want to know you. But because of the podcast, it opened that door for us. So, which, you know, we are doing the podcast ourselves. No one gave it to us, but it has provided a tool for outreach, and that makes me really grateful.
Yes. So my favorites, I have five. I'm going to say them a little faster, and actually you've mentioned a couple, one of them. Anomaly, number 88, because I just think what they're doing and the service of getting a custom gown online, user-friendly, super economical, and just, you know, these badass entrepreneurs out there that are changing things in the world and in the industry. Just, it's so, so cool to me. And I love that mixed with the fact that I very confidently recommend Anomaly to everyone listening to the show and everyone getting married, like my clients. I just love it. And I love that I was there, and it's here in San Francisco, and I got to go in the office and look at everything and watch how they're doing it and listen to them talk on the phone to the brides all over the country. Like,
yeah,
super cool. My other favorite was number 90, the Hearns, the adventure photographers. Just seeing them on Instagram and their life that they lead, living in this really cool van, and taking couples who are taking their marriage, their wedding rather, to a whole different level than a huge wedding, right? Not discounting the weddings that we plan, but just the idea that two people want to go somewhere insanely cool and spectacular and get married on a cliff and have them shoot this, or, you know, a humongous net that was created and they stand in the middle of two mountains, you know, and or skydiving or whatever it is, like that adventurous wedding is so
interesting. And I think it's a trend for 2018 and going into 2019, like the idea of eloping, but doing it like ultimate eloping.
On the edge. Yeah, the ultimate, you know, extreme sport eloping. And the Hearns are so talented, the husband and wife team. Like, they are such great photographers, and they're so cute and in love, and their dog, and I just love it. And then number 96, Bridechilla, Alaisha. I just, you know, I value her as a fellow wedding podcaster. She's so successful. Her show is great. She's friggin' hilarious. She's a very intelligent woman. I love her dynamic with her and her husband. If you watch them on Instagram and their stories, she's awesome. And I remember, like you're saying, putting it out there in the universe. I remember thinking, I want to have her on the show. Is that weird? Is this weird? We're like competition. And I DM'd her and she's like, fuck yeah. You know, like, we just made it happen, that crossover. And we, have heard so much feedback from listeners that loved that crossover that we did.
Yeah, she was so open. If you like wedding podcasts, I bet you're already listening to hers if you're listening to ours. But she was so open with us, and that there was a graciousness about that that I really appreciated. And she's so down to earth, which is very much her brand. So you know she's like the real deal. Yeah, with everything she puts out
there. No bullshit. And I think that's why we appreciate her, because we're no bullshit either. We're not trying to... We are who we are. You're here.
Yeah, and we try really not to have the podcast, the show, our podcast, like, set up impossible expectations.
And trendy, and try to... I do... Okay, so this leading me to my last, which this technically is top five because this last one is two episodes, so is the polyamory and wedding planning. So part of my goal with this show, with this podcast, and I guess that's how I am kind of in general, is that I want to bring interesting content to you. I want it to be, because weddings, like I've said before, there's no discrimination in who can get married, except more than two people cannot get married. So actually, technically, there is discrimination there. That's a lot of what Cass and Tony and Laura talked about. But any type of person gets married, any situation, anywhere, anytime. And so why not go out and find these interesting stories and subjects and bring them to you who is working on planning your wedding and just wants to hear this stuff. And that episode this year, for me, it took me months and months and months and months to get it out there and edit it because it was complicated. But just talking about something that is so out of the norm of what we hear in wedding planning, to me, that gets me excited. I friggin' loved it. I loved and hated it because that was a hell of a hard, difficult one for me to edit.
It was a journey for you, though, and the way you edited it took us along on that journey. So
yeah.
it was a great two episodes. I'm really proud of you, and I know that having a podcast opened that door for you too.
Yeah. Yeah, I would never have met these people. I never would have heard from them or went to their house and see how they lived and had them tell me intimate details. Well, all of you listening about their sex life and, you know, like the some of the discriminatory behavior and the questions they get asked and then having Dr. Fossey, you know, talk about how she works with people in polyamorous relationships and how she's writing a book on it and how fascinating it is. So yeah, those are my top five. I just love the interesting, different content, and there's so much around weddings. It's so cool.
So we'll end the episode in a little bit with some episodes we have in the works or banked up for you guys in 2019. But I also wanted to take a second to say happy engagement to those of you who just got engaged over the holidays and are maybe joining us on the podcast, you know, for the first time. Welcome. It's all about wedding planning, and we're here for you. Don't get crazy. Enjoy your engagement. Maybe keep it a secret for a while. You have time.
I actually pulled up from our metrics our listeners' top five favorites based on the number of downloads.
Okay.
So number one was episode 94, which is 10-ish things wedding planners wish clients knew. That was our top downloaded episode of the year.
Yes.
Of 2018.
I liked that one a lot too.
Number two was number 82, financial planning and your wedding.
Oh, with our guest.
Yes.
Yes, very good.
Was it
Dan.
Dan Hines.
Yeah.
Number three, which was number 86, which we've mentioned, feminism and weddings. Number four, we mentioned also, was number 68, catering venues and bacon.
Oh, yes. That was with a guest also, a catering manager extraordinaire, Beth.
Yeah, that was number four. And number five was episode 99, Destination Wedding Retrospective.
That's with Trisha and Sutton. So yeah, this Trish and Sutton. That gives us such a good hint as to what y'all like and what if you're like searching through all the library of our episodes, finding one that you want to listen to. So thank you. And I'm glad you did that. I did that top nine thing on our Instagram page too.
How'd you do
that? It's a third party app. I think it's the only one that doesn't ask for your Instagram password.
Oh, okay.
So it's called Top Nine and the company is like Beta something, BETA. And then they just find the top nine pictures on your Instagram page in terms of likes. And they post it. And then you have to pay $2 if you want no watermark.
I think it's cool. I love it. I love that. So those are the ones that were liked the most then.
So that gives us a little insight into what you guys want to see also.
Well, and then I also just want to say 2018 was a really friggin' cool year because it was you and I saw each other in person live twice, two separate occasions in 8 years. We were reunited and together, and that was so, so cool.
Yes, that was cool, and it opened the door for some more cool stuff.
Coming up next year, or this year, because you're listening this year, you're in 2019 right now.
I have a list of 2018 celebrity weddings, which was not, I feel like it was not that many. A lot, good, big year for the royals.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
There was, Meghan Markle and Harry, and then Harry's cousin, I believe it's his cousin, Eugenie, she got married also. So when we see royal weddings, we know there's going to be trends that way. Also, Priyanka Chopra and Nick Jonas had like the biggest, most expensive 3 to 4 day celebration.
Jose Villa was their photographer.
Yes. He's out of LA.
Who is like besties. And actually, I think related. He's related to Maria Chang, who is on our show.
He's a big time celebrity photographer. And then we had Gwyneth Paltrow. She had a second wedding. She married Brad Falchuk, and he's a TV producer. And she wore a white dress and a veil and kept it a secret. Then model Carly Kloss, she married Jared Kushner's brother. And then Italian socialite Chiara Ferragni married Fedez, that rapper.
Oh my God. That wedding was out of control.
Yeah, that wedding was off the hook. We don't usually post pictures of celebrity weddings or trendy weddings on our Instagram page, but that wedding had this ridiculous lighting scheme from the ceremony, it looked like, into the reception. And so we did post some pictures of it. It is like big time inspiration trends and a lot of money and an over the topness about it that was really beautiful. And then coming in just at the finish line was Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah.
Who looked like they got married in a living room.
And she's from Nashville.
Yes. It was very low key. And she wore her hair down and a white dress. And then top wedding trends that we saw and that we heard a lot about. One that we talked about a lot because they're one of our sponsors, or it ties in. More diverse wedding registries. So people are getting married a little bit later. They've lived together for a little bit longer ahead of time. So the registries are not just like walking through Target and Crate and Barrel and shooting your registry gun at items anymore, which we think is super fun if you want to do that. But we saw more registries that involved charity donations, travel, specific high-end kitchen tools, you know, like a expensive Cuisinart or something.
Yeah.
And Zola.com was growing in the wedding registry world and offering a ton of that stuff. So we're seeing more, less traditional registries. Also, I feel like balloons had a big year.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Balloon installations, backdrops, arches, flooding the ceiling with balloons. That happened. I saw, we talked about nixing the favor. More couples decided not to have a wedding favor and to spend that money elsewhere, or to instead do something more interactive for the guests at their wedding, like having artists at the reception or theater performance or tarot card readers, something that was entertaining and maybe had a takeaway, but was less traditional than just a favor on a table when you walk out. Wedding parties, I think the big traditional men on one side, women on the other wedding party is less popular. I was going to say on its way out, but it's not. In the South, it's definitely still very much a staple.
That's true.
But as more people like break wedding rules, which we talked about earlier in this episode, I think the wedding parties are becoming more of a mishmash that represents the two people getting married a little bit better, or couples are just forgoing wedding parties altogether and involving their VIPs in different ways. Also super cool food displays, which we saw a little bit at the Modern Love event with like hanging candy and cotton candy and cool bouquets and bags, and even a traveling cocktail bar that, like, you know, a little push cart. So food is now becoming more of an integral part of the wedding day, including incorporating into the wedding design and the interactive nature. So I love that kind of stuff because it seems really innovative, and you love to see something at a wedding that you haven't seen before. So don't forget about the food. And then I also jotted down dresses with sleeves, which has been trending for the last couple years, and I am here for it. I love it.
Me too. I had sleeves on my dress.
Dresses with sleeves. I had one sleeve on mine.
Oh yeah, you did the off the shoulder boulder holder.
Yep. Yes, I did. Small boulders, pebbles more like. okay, and real quick, I did want to tell a little story about when Michelle and I were in Nashville. It's very short. What happened was we went to this bar that was actually a double wide trailer, and it was like at the end of the night, and I knew I wasn't going to stay there for too long, but Michelle found out there was karaoke, so she's going to stay until at least she gets called up there. And we had a friend, or the women that we were traveling with, our new friends, go to hand her ID to the doorman, who looked like Santa, for real. This was his place. They were checking her ID. She looks very young. She showed him. This is on like the patio deck of a double wide trailer in the middle of like a muddy lot. Like that's how they do it in Nashville. And we were like, we're going to go to this bar. And it was, it had been raining all day. It was a muddy mess just getting from the Uber up to the deck.
God.
And then she puts her,
we had been elsewhere. So we were drinking already. Yeah. Mind you.
That's why we're taking Uber. So responsible. She puts her ID out. She accidentally drops it. It goes straight through the slats of the deck. Like it didn't even bounce. It just was like shoop, and it's gone.
And the deck was up high to get up to the double wide trailer. Yeah. It was like what, four or five steps to get up to the deck.
Yeah. If you've ever been in a double wide, they're on, you know, they're on like stilts, yeah, whatever. Cinder box. And she just looks at, we happen to be standing right next to her. She just looks at us.
We all
and we were like, okay.
Because she couldn't fly home without that ID.
Right. And she was like the shyer friend. And she was like, the guy goes, there's only one way to get under this deck. And there's a crawl space on the other side of the stairs. And she looks terrified. And Michelle and I were like, we can do this. We're going to get your ID back. And we get on
I can't believe I wanted to do this.
We get on our hands and knees. I actually realized later that I did not get on my knees. I actually like fully hand and foot crawled. Because I didn't want to get my jeans dirty, all muddy.
Well, Christy's legs are twice.
Yeah,
the
so I like I did
legs,
a little like
okay?
yoga bridge all the way under this thing, and I was Michelle was holding one of us was
my phone,
the phone flashlight, and we're both underneath this deck. There's like. It's everything you would think would be under
and
there.
And we were talking ourselves through it. We're like, it's okay. We're going to do this.
Yeah,
Christy,
it's
got to
be
on.
Somewhere.
Okay.
This is where
don't
we
look
were.
Around. We might see rats.
Yeah, there was beer cans and cigarette butts. And it was, we we tried to just focus the flashlight, but we found it. And then we had to reverse our way out, like butt first, getting out of the crawl space. And we gave it to her and we felt like heroes. And it was,
she was a like, highlight. I can't believe you did this for me.
That's what we'll do.
Like, I can't either.
That's the wedding planner in us. We're like,
right.
There's a problem. We're going to solve it. And it was, yeah, it was pretty funny and it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. So,
and then you went home.
Yes.
And we were about to leave and the DJ calls Michelle and friends up next. And you guys, I did not sign up for a karaoke song. Okay. I did not sign up. My best friend Jenny was there. I looked at her like, what the, and she looked at me like she just shake her head and shrugged her shoulders. And I'm like, fine, whatever. Threw my jacket off, grabbed the microphone, and the song is Bohemian Rhapsody. The whole bar is standing and dancing and screaming and singing with us, and we are killing it, okay? I was performing like no other because I don't even know how many drinks I'd had. And at that point at Santa's bar, only beer I could get was PBR and a shot of whiskey. So here we are, Bohemian Rhapsody, like, Galileo, Galileo. Jenny and I are going back and forth. People are going crazy. It was like a movie.
And I know, and I missed it.
Song ends, drop the mic, run out because actually, we didn't take it to Uber that night, Christy. We found that taxi driver with the van that fit in it, and he gave us his phone number. So he pulls up. We go running out to the car. We're laughing. We're screaming. We can't believe we just did this song. It was so much fun. I go to Jenny. I said, why did you sign me up and not tell me for a karaoke song? And she looked at me and she's like, I didn't sign you up. And I'm like, what? And then everybody, I'm like, I was asking the girls, did you sign me? Who signed me up? They're like, nobody signed you up. And I'm like, oh my God. I just stole somebody's karaoke.
You stole somebody's thunder. You stole their dreams.
Stole their thunder. That was a really fun night.
Yes, that was fun.
That was so fun. Nashville is fun, you guys. Anyway, okay, one more thing I want to say, and then we got to end. This was supposed to be a quick episode. It never turns out quick. So, do you have New Year's resolutions, Christy?
I do have a couple intentions, I want to call them.
You have intentions, not resolution. Okay, good. I don't do resolutions. I don't believe in resolutions on a certain date. I feel like any time throughout the year, if you want to do something or start something new, we do it, right? We make up our mind, we do it. What I do believe in at the closing of a year that is so hard for all of us to do as human beings, except for some, I'm sure this is not hard for some, is to let go of things, right? Those things that we hold on to, that we're really torturing ourselves with, whether they be thoughts, whether they be substances, whether they be people who are toxic for us. I do want to throw out there that with the end of a year, there should be something, because I know you listening, you've got it. You're holding on to some bullshit. I do too. Let something go. You don't need it. It's not helping you holding on to it. So
I agree. And also I'm going to spend less time mindlessly scrolling on my phone. That is my intention.
Ooh, that's a hard one. Use that timer on the phone that they have now that tells you like, that's it. Your time is up.
I didn't know there was a timer to set, but I did know it was tracking. And it's like totally eye-opening to sometimes see how much time in a day I've been on the phone. So I'm going to use that as like a goal to be under a certain amount of time. Okay, so 2019, really quick, I'll just tell you what is to come in the next few months. We have a big backlog now since we were in Nashville. So those episodes are going to come out one by one in no particular order and not back to back likely. We have photographer Kathy Thomas, who drops some big time wisdom about hiring a wedding photographer and what questions you can dig into a little bit. Calligrapher Claire White of White Ink Calligraphy. So awesome. Such a traditional, cool part of weddings. We have Brian, the owner of the Aero Bar, and talking about cocktails and elevating a bar experience for your wedding. Maddie Bush, the owner of Amelia's Flower Truck, talks to us about her truck, her business, her favorite flowers, and ways to incorporate bouquets and flowers in different ways at your wedding. And then we have a crossover, two episodes with Angela Proffitt. She's a celebrity wedding planner out of Nashville, but she's also a podcaster herself. And then we have live interviews from the Modern Love event that we're not sure how we're going to throw all those together quite yet, but we will. We're going to do an episode on Frienders. I'm putting this out there so we'll be held accountable. We're going to do an episode on transportation and hotels, maybe together. We have an elopement special coming out with Simply Eloped, the website. We have a credit card hacking guru on as a guest talking about how to get credit card points to pay for your honeymoon.
Oh, yeah, I love that one.
In the middle of setting up an interview with a transgender couple that lives in Texas, and I think I'll interview them next time I'm there for a wedding.
You didn't tell me about
this. I know, because
it really
literally was 2 days ago that I hooked up with them. I've known them for a while, and they're friends of my parents. They were at this Christmas party, but it's both partners are trans. So they are today a man and a woman, but 15 years ago, they were both a man and a woman in different bodies and different identities. So, and they recently got married, and I want to talk to them about why marriage specifically was important and why it meant something to them, because for all of you out there planning your weddings, you know, marriage might just be like the next step and no big deal. And of course we're going to get married. But for somebody like this couple who has to literally change their identities to fit who they feel like on the inside, it was a big step and lots of red tape, and it really meant a great deal to them. And then we also will do an episode about registering on the line of charities or doing good with your registry and how best to communicate that to guests, because there's some websites that help a lot with that. And I want to dive into that a little bit. And anything else we've heard listeners tell us that we have to do that they're waiting for? I've heard transportation and hotel blocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that I can think of off the top of my head, but please do, you guys. We do want your feedback. We do want to know what you want to hear. So shoot us an email, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. That is the most effective way to get a hold of us, because I have noticed that on Instagram, we have to allow permission for people to DM. And I still want you to, but I actually didn't see a few of them. I was there for like, I don't know, a month. So definitely email us your ideas, questions, any of it. We love every last Wednesday of the month. We do You Ask, We Answer. And those also, by the way, are our top downloaded episodes. We know you love them. And we love doing them and answering your questions.
Yes, and we have some big announcements coming soon. So we will keep you posted on what we're doing. And we love you. Thank you. Please follow us on Twitter, TBWP Podcast. Instagram, The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and Facebook. Same thing. Either one of those will get you to our Facebook page, and we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Alexa, anywhere you get your podcasts. Leave us a review. Follow us on Facebook. That helps more people to follow us if you follow and interact with us on Facebook also. And we have a phone number if you want to call and leave us a message.
415-723-1625. Hey.
Hey.
Christy, I appreciate you. I love you.
Love you.
And you're friggin' badass.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. Happy planning.
You can do it.
You can do it. And we're here to help you. Love you guys. Bye.